thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen and amen. Is that the way you believe? That's the way you feel? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Romans, the 4th chapter. I want to thank everybody for all of the gifts, presents, everything that you gave my wife and I there for Christmas. We really, really appreciate it. And really thank you very much from the depth of our heart. And pray that the Lord will bless you for something you give. Because I always think about it as being not just given to Brother and Sister Dale, but be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it really changes things. I also want to thank everybody for all that was involved in the play. I really enjoyed it there Sunday. We really appreciate everything. And all, you know, the doings and all that's been done during the Christmas time and all, we really appreciate it. Brother Joseph, as quick as he can, will get a video thing made of the play, and then that way we can see it without the intermissions where you had to change the scenes, you know, and the things on the stage. And I think it'll work out a whole lot better to where we'll get a better understanding. So just remember those things. All right, remember now, this coming Sunday, we'll be having one service only, and we'll be, you know, taking our time, and you can go home and be with your families for Christmas Eve. And then remember that the watch night service, now get everything ready, everybody prepared to speak, to sing, to whatever you do on the watch night service. We're really looking forward to a good time in that, so just come. And there won't be any service now on that Sunday until 8 o'clock that night. In other words, it won't be a morning service and an evening service on the 31st. It will be starting at 8 o'clock to keep you from having to drive up and go back and then come back late in the night. So just, you know, remember all of that. So we thank you for all things, and may the Lord bless you. Romans 4. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your grace. Thank you for all things. We know you give them to us freely. And Lord, we know that there would never be enough that we could do to ever repay you for what you've done for us. Because, Father, it's a great hour, a great time that we can stand here upon the face of the earth and say that we see God made manifest among us as a living reality and not just imagination or thought of our mind, you know, or something we would try to make up or presume, but to see you, Lord, living and guiding each and every one of us. Most of all, forgive our sins, because we're not worthy for you to come into our presence. But we ask you to, and you say you promised it, so then it's not hard to ask you to keep your own promise. Lord, we pray that you would just cleanse us, that you could come tonight and use our lips to speak to your people and deliver us, Lord, from the things of life and all of the sicknesses and all that is in the bodies, and just have your way with each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 4. Is any announcements? I generally forget something. Is any announcements I've forgotten of any kind? I don't reckon. All right. Romans 4, verse 13. We'll probably be using this scripture now for a while because of something I want us to get to of looking at the word that's speaking to Abraham. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of revelation. Is that what that says? Faith, revelation thing. All right. See, it was revealed unto him. All right. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, now singular, not many, see, which is Christ, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Yeah. He couldn't see it with the natural eye. He couldn't prove it. See? Now we know this is the promise of the child, etc., the things of Israel. He couldn't prove that. He had no way to prove it. But yet he saw it. And he believed it. Right. Who against hope, he didn't just have hope, see, but against hope. There was no hope whatsoever could be involved. Believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Now, this is the same quotes that we use Sunday, so if you have the quotes from Sunday service, then you can just let him pass on. Now, we've been talking about faith. Revelation, and trying to talk about me and you and how to receive faith. And the prophet said faith is a very simple thing. He said it's not something that you can work up. He said it's just there. He said it's like a gift. You can't make a gift work. If you have a gift or something, you can't make that work. It takes God to make the gift work. So it's not something you can do, but it's something you can yield yourself to someone that can work the gift. All right, now, I believe we're going to catch something about faith if we'll just keep continuing, going on in understanding, and it'll open up unto us that we can begin to, comprehend some things. We had to kind of change things a little bit Sunday because of company with us and things, and that was fine because I think it was needful, and maybe it was a way of presenting things that would help even you that had been here throughout the series of messages, but it would allow me to just kind of open up and speak a little bit instead of trying to, as we do a lot of times, slowly grind, and take our time. But, that's what I say. I like that. That's good. But still, I like to just slow down and take the time to talk to you about something and let the Lord speak to you. Because there's nothing I can do. I can only speak what He gives me. I cannot reveal anything to you. It takes the Lord to do that. But we've been talking about now the subconscious, how your conscience, and if you'll take what I've said and go back and study, basically a lot of Brother Branham's, when he was talking about the senses, he was only covering the 5 senses of the body. He only be covering see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And then he would talk about it even on the message, the 6th sense, that super sense is the title of it, really, 1959, 12:27. You'll find that he's dealing with 5 senses of the body. He doesn't mention conscience, memory, reason, and stuff like that, but he does in the message so you know that he knows what he's talking about. But the point I'm trying to get you to see is he's wanting us to see the difference between what can actually be a scientific fact. Because if you can see something, you don't need to have faith for it. All right. Now, if you can taste it, you don't need faith. If you can hear it, you don't need a super sense for that to work. You can see that just with your natural eye. All you need is eyesight. But then the super sense is in the soul. All right, we'll get to that in a little bit and try to understand a little better. And I didn't bring these, but I'll quote it for the tape services or part. Brother Branham in Uncertain Sound, 1953, he says, your subconscious lays in a place called, or the subconscious is called, lays in a place called the soul. I want to make sure people don't misunderstand me. See, when I come over later and quote soul to subconscious, that way they'd say, where'd he say that at? See, and a lot of people don't have the books and the things to be able to check it out. So, you know, if you do, then you can check it out. Also on Show Us the Father, 1956, he says, your subconscious is your soul. All right. Then he goes on to the way back in 1962. He's talking to the doctor, explaining to him the difference in subconscious and conscious and how he could have a dream while he's standing there. And he said that he could see the subconscious. He said, my soul, in other words. Because your subconscious is this underneath your conscience. It's not just a section of your brain that science would say the front section is your conscience, and that's right, in the basis of what they're saying, you know. And then the back part is called the subconscious. But see, really, your subconscious is your soul. No matter whether you're born to get or not, your subconscious is your soul. That's what you are, because it's what's down under you. And that's why the Bible says, out of the heart proceedeth all things. What? Out of the soul. The soul, that's what you are, is your soul and your being of what you're doing. And he says your subconscious is your soul. All right, then he gets to questions and answers in 59, and he says it like this, that the subconscious, that's where faith lies. All right? Faith lays in your subconscious. Now, we haven't finished a lot that's on that, but we'll get back to it when we can. See? And on a tape called Faith, 1956, he said, faith lays in your subconscious. It's a subconscious thing. He said, faith lays in the soul. All right. Now, then we went on to cover where Brother Branham was talking about, stature of a perfect man. He said, have faith and be born again. So you're born again at faith. And that puts in your soul, your subconscious, eternal life, the new birth. And you can only be saved, you remember we gave them to you, you can only be saved by faith, the prophet said. You can't be saved without faith. You can't be saved by your own mental concept. It must be a revelation to you of the person of Jesus Christ. Not an imagination. Now, I wanted that to dwell into your minds real strong tonight for benefit for later on. That a substance, see, faith is a substance, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11. Right? And then a substance is what anything consists of. And we gave you the quotes where the prophet said, if it's an evidence, to be an evidence, it's got to be a substance, because you can't go in court and say, well, Your Honor, I want to present the evidence today. This man shot this feller with this pistol. And they said, where's the pistol? We don't have it. Well, how do you know he shot him with that pistol? Well, we're just presuming. That's circumstantial. You know, no, that won't work, see. It's got to be an actual substance to be a witness. Or it's your eyesight that you saw it, you witnessed it, you know, whatever. It's got to be something that can be brought into the realm of reality. And if you can see it now, feel it, taste it, what is it? It's a scientific fact. You've heard the prophet say, I don't need faith for a shirt. I have one on. I can feel it. I know I have a shirt on. All right? See, he's trying to get us to see something. But see, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. The new birth is not an imagination. It's just not, well, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, amen. That's good. But what did God do for you? Did he accept you? Like we talk about Abraham, see. Abraham believed God. And believing God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Believing. But God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision. He gave him a substance. Come on. He gave Abraham a substance that Abraham could show that substance. Right? He could show what had happened to him. It was that real. Right? And that's what the new birth is. The new birth is not just you in your mind have a good thought. It's got to be something that you can't imagine. It's beyond imagination. It's got to be into a reality. We talk about the new birth as being the birth of Jesus Christ living in us. But what do we think about that? Well, that was that great anointing that came on me one time. I just got that anointing and I just feel it and I just have that anointing. The prophet said you can have that every day of your life and die and go to hell. But you can't have the substance of the new birth and die and go to hell. So which one do you want? Which is the most real to you? Now, I've got a little something coming along behind here that I'm studying on, and I'd ask you to study the message called Perfect Faith. And we'll just see what the prophet had to say about a few things. And he said it's about time to rub out some of this make-belief. We say, oh, yeah, Brother Branham said, we'll quote it here in a minute. Brother Branham, Jesus said, lived in a world of perfect faith. Oh, if I could just do that. Them disciples back there, they had God with them. If we could just do that again. Brother Branham was here. If he was here, we could get what we asked for. Listen, I'm telling you tonight that this is what I believe. I believe according to Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same tonight as he was back there or ever will be going that away. And if that be so then, which is a question to you, not to me, then why are we dealing with imaginations instead of dealing with a substance? A reality. Are we praying for a revelation? Well, Brother Dale, I've been praying 20 years for a revelation. I ain't got one yet. What have you been doing for 20 years? What have you been reading for 20 years? You know, it would be hard for me to get a revelation, you know what I mean, or get an understanding of medical science because, you know, I mean, I could tell you all about how to take a knife and whack somebody open, you know, and do this and do that, but you wouldn't want me to operate on you, would you? You want somebody with experience, even like Brother Brown said. In other words, his point was, I believe, he didn't want to be the first person that somebody operated on. Because you remember he told that, talking about that person, I want somebody with experience where they're going to operate on me. Now, I wouldn't want to be the first patient, especially a heart transplant, and a guy come fresh out of college and ain't never even operated on a bad toenail, you know. He just runs out. Yeah, I can do it. I read all the stories about it. No, I want somebody that's had an experience. Well, see, that's the way it is in the gospel to me now. I want somebody that's had an experience to where I can understand. All right. Now, see, we tried to show this part. Faith is a revelation. It's not an imagination. The prophet said it's a revelation, invisible union of the bride of Christ, 1965. Works is faith expressed, 1965. Faith is a revelation. But see, what we look at a lot of times is, to Brother Branham, it was a reality. Now, come on. Is that right? To Brother Branham, it was a substance. But to us, we just don't have much. Now, where's Hebrews 13:8? Because he's the same right here tonight as he's always been.
Right, right.
The problem is me and you.
That's right. Yeah, right.
Now, if he was a substance back there, what is he tonight? The new birth is not an imagination. That's why I tried to dwell on it so much. The new birth is not shouting, speaking in tongues, crying, doing this, that. That's not the new birth. The new birth is the birth of the Word, which puts Jesus Christ in you, the revealed Word.
Amen.
All right? And see, that's not an imagination. That's a reality.
Amen.
All right? Now, all right? Then we covered Sunday. Yeah, I just tried to pick up a few things coming down. We were talking about Sunday that Jesus lived in a world of perfect faith. That's number two on your quote, sir. Jesus lived in a world of perfect faith. But see, when we look at that, what do we think? He was sick. You agree? Your prophet said he was. He was tempted even by women, your prophet said. So you argue with him about it. You're not arguing with me, see. All right. The Bible said he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But do we think about living in a world of perfect faith is like living inside of a bubble and nothing can bother you? Yeah. Never no troubles. Nothing can get through to me. That wouldn't be any good. The prophet said, for God to put us in a tube, push us out the other end, there wouldn't be any overcoming. Wouldn't be any overcoming to it. All right? So then, if Jesus lived in a world of perfect faith, now here's at least a stumbler that I hope you think about. It looks like we could have a little bit if we got Jesus Christ living in us. But yet when we say we only have a little bit of it, we limit what we can have. That's what I was trying to get to Sunday, see. Our problem is where we limit what God can do. But Brother Dale, you saying we're God? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're heirs and joint heirs. We have eternal life living in us. What's the difference in eternal life in a small portion or eternal life in a large portion? What's the difference? Just a portion. You understand what I'm getting at? See, Jesus lived in a perfect world. Oh, yeah, he just walked right in there. Oh, he was just, oh, nothing ever bothered him. He just walked all. I don't think there's any of us ever went to the desert and stayed 40 days yet, and scientifically proven you can't live 40 days without water. You can't live that long probably without food of any source whatsoever, because even if you drink water, you do at least get some nutritional value from it. But yet he was 40 days and 40 nights without water and without food. Now, no man could stand that situation. But yet, after all of the things he went through, the beatings, the things of all of his life, yet he walked in the world of perfect faith. Yet they took him and crucified him. They stripped him naked, not with a little cloth on him. Stripped him naked and beat him. That's what gets me. The world won't put him now. Listen, folks, you can argue with me about what you think, but just listen to what I'm saying. The world wouldn't dare, the religious world wouldn't dare put Jesus up there without a cloth on him. But go to the Rome and see if they don't have pictures of Peter and a lot of them guys buck naked. Come on. See, we think, oh, it's just horrible for you to even talk like that, Brother Dale, in front of my family. The Bible said he was. The prophet said he looked like a piece of hamburger meat where they had beat him. But yet he lived in a world of perfect faith. Oh, Brother Dale, it's good when everything's running good. I just every once in a while I get this little feeling that I'm just about getting in that cubicle, you know, that little bubble where I just don't have no problem. Well, don't worry about it. Somebody's going to bust your bubble. Right? Just around the next corner. About 2 seconds later, Satan's going to be there with a pen and take care of your little bubble. But my point is, he lived in a world of perfect faith. He didn't live in a world of perfection with no problems. He lived in a world of perfect faith. The prophet said, in the perfect God that he was. That's in the quote I gave you. Right back up above there, number one, on divine healing, 1959:12-19. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. He's talking about him, and he said faith was just a subconscious to him. You read number one on your notes? Now, not number 12, the top one, number 12. That's them cut and paste I have troubles with. But he said Jesus, that it was just a subconscious to him. It was eternity to him. That's what people can't understand, how an eternal God could be dwelling in a human vessel and go through all of those things and not annihilate the world just because of any move they would make. But you see, he knew the end of the story. Sure, he could have pulled down his finger or moved or a thought would have brought him off of the cross. But he knew he was dying for you and me. And if he had to come off the cross, you and I wouldn't have eternal life. But see, what am I trying to get you to see is the eternal life that you have is the very life that was in him. And he lived in a subconscious form all the time. He was in perfect contact with Almighty God because he was Almighty God. He said, but Brother Dale, that's the difference. We're not. Show me in the Bible. Show me in the Bible. You got a right to say that. The Bible I read is constantly talking about the greatness of what you are. Well, I know what I am. Yeah, and that's the problem. That old devil is still there. So you're not letting the subconscious realm control you. You're letting your imaginations, memory, conscious reasonings. You're living in that realm of consciousness. Instead of reality of living and knowing that your soul is born again by the new birth. And knowing who you are and where you are and what you're doing. Well, if I'd have just been back there with Peter now. Your prophet said if he had a choice, of when to live. Where did he say he would live? He said he would live in this end time. Sure, it would be wonderful to have been back there with the Lord Jesus. Sure, it would have been wonderful to have been with the disciples. But my Bible says they're waiting on you and I.
That's right. Amen.
But they've got a whole lot more, Brother Dale, than we got. Now, show me that in the Bible. Show it to me in the Bible. If you don't, shut up. Well, you'll not talk that way. Why not? You know, we just, Brother Dale, we just go to church and be good, and we're just, you know, that's good. But what does the Word say? All that I read tonight talking about Abraham. I'm going to just tap something, and I'm going to back off, and I ain't going to say what I want to say, but I just want you to think. God spoke to Abraham. Will you agree? But he didn't tell him all the story. He didn't even tell him he'd have the child by Sarah. Read your Bible. He didn't tell him what was going to take place. But Abraham believed. What did Abraham have to prove that? Nothing but his own self. Sarah couldn't even believe it. It was only to him. But yet we read tonight that further he went, in other words, the stronger he got. The further he went, the stronger he got. But according to what I look at and what you look at and what anybody humanly would look at, the further he went, the weaker it got. Right? The less out that it could have taken place. It's going to take a drastic thing to be able to bring forth. When in his early days, it would have been the easy thing. But yet he got stronger in faith. Counting those things that be not as though they were. Right. I'm going to stop right there because it'll carry into the next message. See, what you and I need to do is find out who we are and what we're doing here. I'd like to take sometimes maybe a series upon that little thought. Show you every scripture in the Bible that would speak of any great thing. Of all of the great miracles, signs and wonders, the great faith warriors of Hebrews 11. And finish it up by saying, but they without us are not perfect. Those great, wonderful things that happen, there is something greater for you and I. They're depending on us. We're not depending on them. We're standing on them because of their faith. Are we listening to God and waiting for what the prophet has to say in number 3 of what your note says? Which number 3 is from a message, what does make a Christian life? Or what does it take really to make a Christian life is the title, 57013. He's talking about faith. Our emotions is not so much as jumping up and down. You could do that. A shindig will bring that to you. But the Holy Spirit brings you into operation, are in control of God. That you walk in peace and in love and in joy with long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience. You see, it isn't something that you do. It's something the Holy Spirit does in you. You see, it's no longer an intellectual thought of your own. It's a subconscious moving of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I wish I could shout the praises of God around the world. Church of the Living God, there's where our Pentecostal people, Pentecostal move fail. We have some man-made musical, clap hands, jump up and down emotion. When if we go back out on the street and the Holy Spirit doesn't govern our lives to cooperate with that, we have not got the Holy Spirit. That's not skim milk, he said. But brother, that's what the church needs. Only life can come by the Holy Ghost. Paul said, it's not I, as I kept quoting Sunday, that lives, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He gave no credit to anything. He feared that man would build, according to Brother Branham, he feared that man would build upon him. Now listen, how close it is. He feared they would build upon him and not build upon the God that was in him. Now I'm quoting Brother Branham. It's in the Church Age book. He feared that they would build upon him and not build upon the God that was in him. We'll just take down Jupiter and put up Paul. See, that's what they done. You know? Take down this one, put up Peter. And the early church, the prophet said, got caught by those things. They went to Nicaea. Said some left, but said it wasn't long until they were strangled out to where that they come forth with Trinitarianism in the original church that started on the day of Pentecost. The bride. Why? They wasn't built on the God of Paul. They were built up on Paul. What about today? What about today? Built up on William Branham or the God of William Branham? Well, Brother Dale, you can't separate them. If you know what you was talking about, we might agree. But you must separate the fact that you do not build upon a man. You build upon what the man said. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But you see what I'm talking about? See, it's not you, the Bible said. Take no thought when that hour comes, because it's not you that speaketh, but the Father in you. He doeth the speaking. Is that Scripture? Is it God in us doing it? The Holy Spirit in us doing it, not Holy Spirit anointing us to do it. There's a lot of difference in the two statements, you know. Amen. The Holy Spirit can anoint you to do a lot of things and you not even have the Holy Spirit as a new birth. Amen. Is it the Holy Spirit that's within you and I that's doing it? Or are we doing it? Which one is it? Jesus lived in a world of perfect faith. But you'll say, well, Brother Dale, here's Brother Gary, right? Brother Dale, I guess in a way, you could say that we live in a world of perfect faith. Now, if somebody doesn't come upon while on this earth to a place to be walking in perfect faith, there is not going to be a rapture. Do you see what they're depending upon us? Then, if someone does not come to the position to where the rapture can take place in a group of people, then all before them would be false. And we're of all men most miserable to be found of Christ only in this life. You know what that means? Talking of Christ, saying, oh, we're Christians, we're this. But no reality. A subconscious moving of the Holy Spirit. Well, Brother Dale, then that means one of these days, well, we're walking like a zombie. Yeah, now you're back to your little bubble. Let me bust that in a hurry, because it'll never be that way. It wasn't that way with the Lord Jesus. It got worse and worse and worse and worse. It was never that way with the Apostle Paul. It got worse and worse and worse. It was never that way with Brother Branham. It got worse and worse and worse. The man that was preaching to 400,000 in a meeting wound up preaching to half a dozen, maybe in a trailer. Come on. Give me the Bible for what you're talking about. Well, I think, Brother Dale, it's going to come to a place one of these days until, boy, it's just going to, fire's going to move among us if we can ever get our wives straightened up. You know what I'm saying. There's always some reason, some reasoning factor that keeps you from admitting what you are. If you're a born-again Christian tonight, why can't you say you're a Christian? Why can't you say you have eternal life? Why can't you say you're just as righteous as Jesus Christ is by being in Him? How many stopped there? So you're okay and before then, but how many stopped on that point? That's page 31 of the Hebrew book if you want to read it. If we don't say that we're as righteous as Jesus Christ is by being in Jesus Christ, to accept one is to accept the other, to reject one is to reject the other. Read your church age book, page 31, and see if it's right. See, I'm trying to get you to see that there's something of more reality living within you than you and I have ever even thought about it being. We've talked about it being a person. Right? We've spoken of the new birth as a person of Jesus Christ. But could it be that we would be like the great mystery of the Trinity? That it's God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. I want that to soak a minute. Could we be saying that Jesus Christ is in us like the third person of the Trinity? Or the second or the first or whatever? Could we actually be saying He's a person? You understand what I'm saying? But see, we took that person and chopped him so much to pieces until we come out with a three-headed freak called a Godhead. Yet we said it's revelation. We don't believe in the three persons of the Trinity, do we? Come on. Do you believe in that? No, you don't believe in three persons and one God, do you? You don't believe in three gods, do you? Some of you won't even answer. But listen. If you don't believe that inside of your soul by the new birth is the person of Jesus Christ, then you are Trinitarian. Not an emotional makeup or an anointing to come upon or something to make us feel good, but a person to live. Because how can you explain eternal life? How can you explain that if everybody in the world today, over 6 billion today in the world, could receive the new birth? Do you agree? And you know that everybody in the world would have the person of Jesus Christ living inside of them? Can you explain that? Would one have more than the other? A person's a person. But church, do you see what I'm talking about? What we need to know is who we are and what we're doing here. The only way to know that is to find out where our faith lies. Faith doesn't lay in your brain. Faith doesn't lay in your conscious realm. Faith lays, the prophet said, in your subconscious. The new birth lays in your subconscious. That's why that it's not ruling a lot of times, because it is down under, if you want to call it, subconscious. It is hidden to where that it can't be seen by the natural world and their eyes. It's something that you cannot prove to be a reality. You can only believe it and let Him produce it. You know, we spoke Sunday of the super sense. It was the title of Sunday's message. I'm using the same notes because I said I needed to do it. But now we're talking about faith, the super sense. Faith, the super sense. Now listen to what your prophet had to say. Look at number 4 on your note. Look what he had to say about super sense. And I wish you'd get the message and listen to it on super sense, 1959:12:27. In the evening. Listen to what he said. Now the Bible said, if the spirit that was in him be in you, said it would also quicken your mortal body. Is that right? That's scripture. Now think of that while we read this scripture. I read what the prophet had to say. Paragraph 168. It was that sixth sense that raised Jesus from the dead after he had laid in the ground, because he believed the word of God, said, destroy this body and I'll raise it up again on the third day. For David said, I'll not leave my soul in hell to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell. I will not leave my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell. It was that super sense cast down the reasoning of these senses, believed the super sense, the sense of faith that Jesus Christ gives. By the same sense, and what? Super sense. By the same sense, God spoke when there was nothing. What is that sense? That super sense is God. The faith of God in you, the part of God that comes into you, gives you the super sense. By that same super sense, God framed the world together with things that was not and did not appear. He spoke His word and believed His word, and a world shook into existence. Glory. He said it's the part of God in you. The sixth sense is part of God in you. Because the sixth sense is the faith that lays in your subconscious. Your subconscious is your soul. By the new birth brings in a super sense to live within you. The faith or revelation of Almighty God. It's the part of God living in you. I'm quoting from the prophet. Now let's go down and just begin reading a few of them. I'll try to get as much as I can. From the same message, Super Sense, 1259. 1227, 59. Paragraph 53. Read it as you come down, but get down to where I got it underlined. We're grateful to God that we have the five senses. And there's one right down underneath this. He said, and I would not say that because we receive the sixth sense that the five senses are no good no more. He didn't say that. We need the five senses. But when the five senses act contrary to the word of God, then they're lying, he said. That's number six on your notes, but let's continue this one. And we're grateful to God that we have the five senses. But by no means was that five senses given to you to guide you. They were given to you for earthly contact. But there was given unto you the sixth sense. And that sixth sense, listen, belongs only to the Christian. Listen. You cannot have this sixth sense until you become a Christian. It's the only way that you can ever have any more than five natural senses for the natural person. The sixth sense is better known to the Christian as faith. It's the one that governs and guides you and is superior to all the other senses. It's a superior to all the senses, the other five senses. He said you can't have the super sense in your soul without the new birth, without being a Christian. Before then, your subconscious is ruled by Satan. And he said on souls in prison, the nature of that soul is of the world. But he said if it's born again, the nature of that soul is God. See, then by the new birth, God comes and lives in us and brings his own life. And brings you and I to a position of faith. That's the new birth on the pyramid, right? Faith. Have faith, the prophet said, and be born again. You see what he's getting at? Look at number seven. This is still out of the same message. Just get this message and listen to the whole, or read the whole message. It's in book form. And the super sense is the Holy Spirit, the faith of God that dwells in you. And if you'll let the five senses be yield to the sixth sense, it'll guide you and bring all other five senses under control of that super sense. For it's so far above the natural senses as the spiritual man is above the natural. It's as far and as high as the heaven is above the natural man and his five senses. It makes you believe things that you cannot see. It makes you act where you do not think the five senses would ever think about it. The devil can get into these five senses and lie to you, but he cannot touch that super sense that's far beyond the reach. That come from God. It's called faith. Faith is the great thing. Paragraph 59, which is a continuation, I think, of the reading right on down. Now, in giving this illustration of the senses, the natural man is born with these senses so that they are nature-given senses. And that's only, that's really only thing he ever know about it in his intellectual thinking. He can only think as a man. He can see as a man. He can understand as a man. He can hear as a man. But when he becomes governed or regenerated, listen, or we could call it born again, then that sixth super sense takes a hold of him. And in doing so, that super sense raises him up into a spot to where that he has faith to believe things that he could not hear, things that he could not see, understandings that he could not understand. He believes it anyhow. Because he's governed by that sixth sense, that super sense. Oh, how marvelous it is to know it and to think how simple it is to believe it. Keep on reading, because this is a continuation right on down through the book. Now, you cannot believe until you are regenerated. The Bible said that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. We went through that this last week, and it's been such a stumbling block, especially to the Pentecostal believers, people, when they hear me say that Jesus said in John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. Eternal life comes from God alone. And no man can say Jesus is the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. You're only taking what somebody else said, what you learned by intellectual, what you learned by the natural five senses. But when the sixth sense comes in, the Holy Spirit, it takes away all the reasonings of these six senses and five senses and lifts you up into that sixth sense to make you believe things that you cannot see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. It does something to you. Then you can say Jesus is the Christ, because you have witnessed it, but not what intellectual teaching has taught you, but what you've experienced. What is the sixth sense to do then, Brother Branham? Right on down, number 10 on your notes. Why do the sixth sense come? I thought about that when I was reading it. Somebody on tape may wonder, and I'm reading it just the way Brother Branham talks, okay? He talks this way he is. Why do the sixth sense come? The sixth sense come for this reason. Now, the sixth sense is faith, the super sense. Now, if the sixth sense come for this reason only, that was to make the five senses in you deny anything that's contrary to God's word. That's what the sixth sense is for. The scripture speaks of casting down reasoning. He goes through the five senses and you can see, well, why should this man and why should... But the sixth sense doesn't see that at all. It's so far beyond it. It's so much higher than it is until it don't even have any reason at all with it. We believe it. It's far beyond anything that the five senses would have you to say about it. Now get ready for a healing service. We believe it. You walk by that sixth sense. You talk by that sixth sense. You live by the sixth sense. You die by that sixth sense and rise by that sixth sense. That super sense, something in you that's different from the natural man is. Let's just read these other two and then we'll be through. Message called Faith, the Sixth Sense, preached 1960, 6:11 in the evening. Are you ready to receive your healing, all of you? You going to put your sixth sense to work? What is the sixth sense now? It's faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that makes Missouri wrong. Everybody, people on tape wouldn't know what Brother Brown's saying there. He goes on to explain it. But we have a saying here in America, when you say you come from Missouri, that's what they call a show me state. You got to prove it. That's the reason he's using Missouri, okay? Now watch him. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that makes Missouri wrong. I'm from Missouri. You have to show me, you know. Got to see it. Faith is that thing that subdues kingdoms, that wrought righteousness, that does all kind of miracles and signs of that sixth sense. Wake it up. Take the bondage off your spiritual eyes. Look around. See if you can't see that God still remains God. Now that's your prophet talking to you. Let's get the last one. Well, we won't use the last one until later because you know what it is. Brother Ram's saying those disciples didn't have perfect faith because we just read through the book, through the message, through the quotes, that the only way you could have perfect faith is to be born again. The only way you can have the super sense is to be born again. And if you're born again, you have the life of Jesus Christ living in you. If you have the life of Jesus Christ living in you, why are you still dealing with any form of emotionalism? Well, Brother Dale, you're not emotional. I'm emotional to anybody in this building. You're just never around me. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm sitting today thinking. Just sitting thinking. about the poor old people of this message. That have all of the great faith and have healings and signs and wonders and miracles among them, but do not want to talk about the revelation of the message of the hour. The opening of the seals, Daniel 70 weeks, marriage and divorce, serpent seeds and things like that. They don't want to talk about it. They said, we don't get confused. They don't want to talk about the revelation. And I thought faith was a revelation. I thought that's what the prophet said. No, faith, Brother Dale, is when I believe something. That's mental. Mental faith is when you believe in your head. Spiritual faith is when God has revealed to you that you're healed. When He reveals to you that you're healed, you don't care what the world says. You don't worry about what the doctor says. You're life at Him. When it's revealed to you. Why? Because you have a substance. You have something that people say, oh, if God had just healed me, I'd confess it. Now, there ain't no such thing in the Bible. Now, I want Scripture for it. Where does it say in the Bible that I have to see something before I'm to believe it? My Bible, my prophet says, I got to believe it before I see it. Yes, but Brother Dale, that's where you're a liar. God's not. Faith is the substance. It's God living in you. Called the new birth. The substance of God. Come on, what do you think I've been aiming at all these months? The new birth is the substance of Almighty God living in you. Not an imagination or a thought. It's an actual person. It's the person, the only person. Or else we're still in Trinitarianism trying to talk about a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost blessed Trinity. I hope you caught what I said there while I go on that. Not go back and listen to the tape. Because that's exactly where people are. They're taking Him now and dividing Him back up. And making Jesus one person and God another. That's what your two Lord doctrine says. That's what your River Jordan doctrine says. That Jesus is not the substance of God. And that was the argument at the First Nicene Council in 325 AD. Go check it. It wasn't over one or three gods. It was over whether Jesus was a substance or a like substance. They developed out of it. He was a like substance. And when they did, they brought the Trinity out of it. And Brother Brown said a new Trinity would come out after the opening of the seals. Feast of the Trumpets, I'm pretty sure is the message. He said there'd be a new Trinity come out of the old Trinity. See? People in this message trying to make God not a reality. Saying, Jesus, oh, well, but Brother Dale, you're talking about the flesh. There's one thing about it. That flesh was a creation. You better be careful what you say about the flesh. Well, he was, now I'm going to quote this. Well, he was just a man. I want a quote for that. Somebody send it to me on the internet. Brother Dale, you just opened it up. I want a quote that says Jesus was just a man. Give me one. I've looked in the computer and I can't find it. Oh, yeah, I know the rest of them. Oh, he lived as a man. Amen. But when you say Jesus was just a man, you're making him a separate substance to Almighty God. That's your problem, not mine. I'm just trying to get this church to see what we are and what we're doing. Because see, the two soul people used to say that Brother Branham said that your soul was just the nature of your spirit. There is no quote for that. Show it to me. Brother Brown said the soul is the nature of the Spirit. When you say it's just the nature of the Spirit, you're eliminating all facts of what it could be, and making it only an imaginational substance. So is it when you say Jesus was just a man? Brother Brown said if he was a man, no man can die for another man. But you see, church, people don't realize they're just going along with doctrinal ideas and things. But what are you and I doing? Are we just able to out-argue everybody else? When I came into this message, I saw one thing, and that's all I've ever tried to preach. The seals, the 70 weeks of Daniel, all the things that I've ever preached in my life is to try to get you to see one thing. That God is real, a reality, living by the new birth in the hearts of the saints of all. Of this life day. And see that we're God walking on 2 feet again upon the earth. We're no longer in the days of the women that has come down. They had their age. There is no woman for this age. Mary was the last. She was a carrier. We're back to the seed again. And the seed says, I and my Father are one. What's living in my heart is not an imagination. It's a person, like the prophet one time said, I wish I could just take him out and hug him. Listen, church, I can even tell you about my own sister. I know a lot of people don't like me talk like this, but she'd steal the money off a dead man's eye. She's my sister and I love her. You don't talk about her, but I can. But she told me one day, she said, Sam, I was praying. She used to be a very spiritual person in her early days. Prayed and read her Bible. She said, I was praying one day. Some of you heard me tell it. She said, I reached out in prayer and said, I took a hold of the legs of a man. She said, it was not an imagination. She said, I held him. And said, it was Jesus I was a hold of. How many of us can even talk like that? But yet when I mention it, you stranger, don't even think that I tell you that when I first come in the message and begin to hear, I wasn't even born again, but there was a man walked beside of me more real than you are. A whole lot more real than anything you've ever seen in your life. And he walked right there with me. But yet people think I'm just exalted. I just tell you what happened. But you see, one day, that man, no longer did I feel him out there. No longer did I look for him outside. Oh, if I could just get in the presence of Almighty God. Oh, I just love to do this. Why don't you pray yourself out of your own sinful condition? You might find out where he's at. Right. Amen. He's not out there. He's in here. Amen. There is not a God to come out of heaven. Amen. The coming of the Lord is revealing of his word. Amen. He's not coming down out of the sky. He's coming forth in a bride.
Right.
In the bride coming of Christ, the prophet said. Right. Coming out of the church. What does that mean? Coming out of our denominational thoughts and ideas. But Brother Dale, I don't have any denominational thoughts. I wouldn't back there any. What's wrong with you when I say faith is a substance? See, the The God I'm talking about is not a God of an imagination or a picture. Listen, like I was saying there a few moments ago, they took down Jupiter and put up Peter. How did they ever get those people to pray to them images? How did they get them to pray to them images? I won't call his name, but the same way a man stood in Athens, Georgia years ago, and a lot of you were, lot was there to listen. Some of you were here tonight and was listening probably to it. Or some of you know this tape. And the man said, when you get ready to pray, he said, to be able to get your mind in the right channel, said, get down before the picture of Jesus. I looked at that man and I thought, oh God, what have you done to these people? Do I have to have a picture? You see how easy it was to get that church off of the Word? Well, here's a picture, you know. Here's a picture of Peter. Don't you love Peter? Well, didn't Peter lead you to the Lord? Well, just to help you get your picture, you know, get in front of Peter. You say, that's never happened to me. The day you and I walked in the world of Trinitarianism, we were no different than the Roman Catholic Church with all dogmas. The prophet said it straight out of the pits of hell. And you and I worshiped that idol. Called them Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, Catholics. We worshiped that idol because we thought that was our God. Now, come on. How many of you told your kids not to act up in church because that's where God lived? Oh, pretty quiet, huh? Pretty quiet, huh? He said, well, Brother Dale, you're always telling us to be quiet in here. That's right, we ought to be. Because this is where we meet God. It ain't where God lives. God lives in my heart. God lives in Brother Ryan's heart. That's why I should respect him so much. Not as Ryan, but as Jesus Christ living in flesh again. What you've done unto the least of these. Is that scripture? You have done unto me. Yes, but you've gone too far now, Brother Dale. Because you're trying to bring God down into us. I would to God that we could realize that God has tried all of these years to get us to see that He's living in our hearts. He's a reality in our lives. That He's real. He's not an imagination. He's a substance. What is the difference between a prophet seeing California sink or California sinking? Now, what's the difference? You ever thought like that? What's the difference in a dream you had or something that was going to take place? You ever had one? And you see it take place. What's the difference in them? If you can't explain that, you don't know what faith is. But listen, church. Faith is the sixth sense. Peter was given a sixth sense. Remember the message? Faith for the time. I keep quoting that where you'll remember it. Peter was given a sixth sense under his feet. Right? He was given a substance under his feet. But when he looked at the circumstances surrounding his substance, he began to sink. Why? Because he had no eternal life to go back to. He could only go back to his seeing. He can only go back to the ways and things that which a few seconds before then meant nothing to him. Did you know what they were? You ever thought like this, maybe? Maybe I know I'm stupid, but you know, he was walking on the waves. You know, one second, them waves were the substance. The next second, them waves was what was taking him down. You know what the prophet said on perfect faith? He said, people say, I've got perfect faith. He said, and one day they have faith. But said, the next day, they lose it. And what's he going to say? He said, but the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. So if I have a substance today and I lose it tomorrow, the Holy Spirit didn't do that. It was me that was stumbling on an imagination. You see, church, what is God? Well, Brother Dale, he's just an eternal, he just floats everywhere. He's just all over, and he just covers everything. Now, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what your prophet says. Your Bible and your prophet says God is a being. And the prophet used this term. He said he's not like the wind. He said he's not even omnipresent. How would you like a quote like this? You think people don't know how to quote? They surely don't. Brother Brown said Jesus is not omnipresent. You agree? You want me to give you a quote where he said the devil is omnipresent? There's a direct quote of that. I saw it the other day. Is he greater than God? Or is the prophet just as illustrating? Satan is not omnipresent. But there's very few seconds he's not around me. How about you? I wake up in the middle of the night. I think I'll start doing that. And say, hey, Satan, how you doing? You say, Brother Dale, well, he's there, isn't he? Wasn't that what the man said? The devil was over there, you know, and he turned over and he looked at him, one of the men back in time, and he looked at him. And there was the devil just, he said, oh, it's just you. He started over and went back to sleep. You know, that man wasn't afraid of the devil. You know, fear can only bring the presence of Satan to hurt you. But do you understand what I'm saying? I believe God is real. He's what I longed for when I first heard of him. When I first heard of God back in the denominational Baptist, and we had a little Pentecostal background to a degree, and when I first heard of him, I always wanted to see him. I always thought about it. As a child, I thought about it. 11 years old, I saw him standing in a church. The little boy next to me, he said, Sam, you better go to the altar. I said, God's dealing with you. I wouldn't go. I can take you to the church and mark you with an X where he was standing. From that day on, all I've ever been concerned with, you can think what you want to about me, but just think about what I say. God is real. Children, God is real. God is not just an imagination. He's real. And the more we see him as being real, the greater it is. Come on, brother. the greater that it is, if we can just see that he's real. I would to God I could live in that world of that I never had any trouble. But somebody one of these days is going to live in a place, why not it be us, that they live in a world of perfect faith. And I described that a while ago, that Jesus lived in a world of perfect faith, but was beat to death, hung on a cross, stripped naked before the world, ridiculed by everybody, spit upon, but yet he was in a world of perfect faith. You know what proved? Now, let me ask you. Do you know what proved he was living in a world of perfect faith? It just come to me. You know what proved that? Because he could hang on a tree. That proved he lived in a world of perfect faith, because he could hang there knowing he was dying for you and me. Perfect revelation. Wouldn't how much head knowledge that we've got it, we're talking about perfect faith. Not how much you can move mountains. It's how much you can believe that God is real. How you can believe that he's so real until it doesn't matter. I withstood a brother years ago on something that he had preached, and I didn't agree with him. I just told him I couldn't. He said, one of these days, people will come to it. Had another brother get up in the fellowship meeting one night, and a lot of you was there and didn't even know he was doing it. He's beating me to death. You know where you're supposed to be and get lined up. I looked at him and I thought, oh God, have mercy. Have mercy upon him, Lord. They don't understand. And one night I was laying in bed. A pain struck me, and most of you seen me in pain and know I can stand it. I worked when my back was twisted totally out of shape and handling 70 and 80 pounds and curing it and having to hang it up. A lot of you seen me. My wife never knows when I'm in pain. When I finally do take an aspirin, she says, what's wrong with you? Because she knows I don't say nothing. But all at once, laying in that bed, something struck down through me, and it was like the hottest poker and the biggest knives and twisting and tearing down through my intestines. It was so strong, the only thing I could do was just jump out of the bed and just stand up. And it was like you couldn't have told me no difference than the thought that my entire intestines and everything had went out on the floor. It was that painful. I couldn't move. I was standing there in pain. The voice said, you went against brother so-and-so, and now you've got cancer in the rectum, and you're dying. I stood there and I said, God, you know my heart. You know that I have never had one thing in my life against that man. And that I have not been contrary to him except what I can't agree with what he taught. And if I die this moment, I'll die facing you that away, Lord, and you know it. Finally staggered to the bathroom and blood was coming out. 2 or 3 months later, I wouldn't even tell my wife. 2 or 3 months later, I finally told her. She made me go to the doctor. They run every test, couldn't find nothing. Because you see, there's one thing I'm not. You might think I'm a lot of things, and I am. But I'm not a hypocrite. A lot of you think that, Brother Dale, you ought to said this, you ought to said this about certain things. I said what I was supposed to say. And a lot of times I said it in private because I don't believe in making a mockery out of anything. If I got to face you, I'll face you by yourself. But I'm just telling you, whatever is within me has led me to believe what I believe today. That God is a reality, he's a substance, he's living in you by the new birth. And that is the substance of the gospel. That is reality. You'll see as we begin to speak on a little more that it's more of a reality than what you think it is. Because it's real. Let's stand. 341 in the red book. If anybody has a need. Greater is he than me. Greater is he than is in me. He that you have a need, come and let's see. The roaring lion roars to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. Many souls have been his prey to fall in some weak hour. Has he? Coming power. Greater is he that is in me. You love him? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with the power greater than any earthly foe. And I'm so glad I've got it too. I've got it. Oh, no. Let them know it. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Sing it again unto him. Satan like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. Many souls has been his prey to fall in some weak hour. But God has promised us today his overcoming. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. What is the standard? You! You are his standard. You as believers are his standard. But don't let the standard down. Came into the upper and baptized. He could do the same thing tonight. It's here tonight as it was then. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Just think about it, church. The word you and I have heard has been delivered unto our hands by the prophet messenger. We should be a whole lot further up the road than we are. But you know what? We're right on time. Because the trials and heartaches and troubles and things is to bring us to a place that we can believe God. In what? love him. Oh, I love you. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy. May it be a sweet, sweet. One more time before we go. Do you love him? Just raise your hands and thank him. I love you, Lord. And I live my voice to worship. Joy, my King, it brought you here. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your love and your grace unto us. But most of all, thank you for salvation. Thank you for revealing yourself. Not to be some emotional situation or some thoughts, even though within us it is a very emotional thing, Lord. It is a very moving, wonderful feeling to feel your presence and your love with us. Father, to know you as a reality and that you're real, that you're not a myth or a thought, or some form up in another world somewhere that we have to cry to get there or something. But to realize that you're living in our hearts by the new birth. Lord Jesus, there's many sicknesses among us tonight. You said in your word, that I sent my word and healed them and delivered from destruction. Father, just ask you to make yourself manifest among us through the healing virtues of Calvary because of the revealing of thy word. We love you and we thank you. Just bless everybody on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. Let your light shine with each and every one of us. And guide us now in Jesus' name.